Everyone, and welcome to Romford Salvation Army. We're really pleased you're here with us this morning, and we hope you enjoy worshipping with us. Have you ever knocked on someone's door and you've known that someone was in, but they haven't answered? Maybe you can hear the TV or some voices, but no one comes. It used to happen to me often when I was collecting for the Salvation Army door to door. Today, we're going to be looking in the Bible at Acts chapter 12, where Peter escapes from prison and goes to his friend's house. He knocks on the door. Someone comes, but they don't let him in. He's left standing there, knocking. Meanwhile, his friends were inside, busy praying for Peter to be released. More of that later. Now let's sing our opening song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. I hope Mark lets me in soon.
This morning's Bible reading is taken from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 19. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up!" And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him.
Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and they saw him, they were amazed. He motioned for them to be quiet and told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers what happened," he said, and then he went to another place. At dawn, there was a great commotion among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. Herod Agrippa ordered a thorough search for him. When he couldn't be found, Herod interrogated the guards and sentenced them to death. Afterwards, Herod left Judea to stay in Caesarea for a while.
Hello! Hello, everybody! It's me! It's Harry! How are you today? Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Hello! Give me a wave! It's nice to see you. Oh, I wanted to send you a video because me and my friends... Say hello, everybody! Sorry, they're a bit quiet. Me and my friends, we're having a nice little gathering and we are saying prayers! Ooh, prayers! And I wondered, do you say your prayers? When do you pray? Is it in the morning? Or is it at your bedtime? Do you pray on your own? Or do you pray with your mum and your dad? I wonder what you do. Have a little think, because it's really important that we pray. Now, I don't just mean before you eat your Rice Krispies, or your sausages, or your pizza or chicken nuggets dinner. Because that's important. We need to say our prayers as grace before our breakfast and our lunch and our dinner. But we can also pray for different things. And it's really important that we do. Now, I know that Ella has created some great crafts for you to try at home. So let us know how you get on, because I'd love to see it. But we are having some discussions and we are praying. My horsey friend Harry over here, he wants to pray for his mum, who's not very well at the moment, and that's really important to pray for. And Ellie, the elephant, she would like to pray for her friends because they're moving house, and that's really important too. And Teddy, well, Teddy is starting a new school in September. Oh, and he really wants to pray for that, don't you, Teddy? He does. And the little funny dancing robot, well, not really sure what he's praying for because he keeps dancing, but I think he's just really happy. And he just keeps saying, thank you, God, thank you for everything you've given us. So it's all pretty good, isn't it? So remember, make sure you pray and also have fun with the craft. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Loving Father, we come to you in a time when the world is in turmoil, when there is so much division and darkness, when it is sometimes difficult to see all that is good in the world and all you have planned for us. Father, as the early church prayed together in earnest for Peter, we come before you now, physically apart but together in spirit. We earnestly seek your will in our church, and pray that we will play our part in bringing your kingdom on earth. We bring before you those who are bound by sickness, by addiction, by relationship issues and family breakdown, by financial worries, by loneliness, or by anything that is keeping them from knowing life in all its fullness. We bring before you those in our church family who particularly need you at this time. We pray for Rachel Hayward and family as her dad is ill in hospital. We bring Valerie Strutt's aunt Olive, who has been very ill in hospital in Northern Ireland. We pray for Doris Pretty as she settles in her new home. And we pray for David and Christine Whittles as they are unable to see their daughter Lisa due to the coronavirus. We pray for all those in our church family and beyond who are suffering at this time, that you will come close to them just now. Father, we pray that you will continue to be with us during this pandemic. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and for those who are still sick. We pray for all those who will be worried about money and business and their homes. We pray that the government will put in place measures to reduce the impact on families, and that we as a church and as individuals will be equipped and open to see how we can support those in need. Father, we thank you for those who give their lives to you in Salvation Army ministry. Particularly we bring to you Lieutenant Luke Cousins and Lieutenant Hannah Borrett and all the new officers and their families that will start their first appointments this week. We also pray for those officers and families who are moving to new appointments. We pray that you'll be in all the practical logistics surrounding those moves and will also give them peace of mind and heart. Father, we thank you that you have the power to free us from sin and from death. Thank you that you offer forgiveness and healing. Thank you that we do not have to live in fear or be burdened by worry, because you have the victory over everything. Father, we pray that we will see when prayer is being answered, and that we will be willing to tell people about what you have done. We thank you that you are a faithful God and that you hear us when we pray, and you hear us now. For all the concerns that we have brought to you in the last few minutes, or days, or months, or years, we pray in earnest that you will answer with a yes. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you to the songsters, to Dom, and to the male voices for leading us in that lovely time of prayer and reflection. Now, by the wonders of modern technology, we're here leading worship with you at Romford today, but but also at the William Booth College with our son Luke, celebrating his commissioning yesterday as a lieutenant in the Salvation Army. We've asked him to say a few words, so here he is now, Lieutenant Luke Cousins.
I just wanted to say a quick word of thanks to everyone for the 2 years that I've been connected to Romford Corps through my parents and that you've supported me and prayed for me. It's been great being part of college here, being able to share with the session and the officers and learn together and have fun together as well. And to have the experience of this 2 years of training and going and visiting Corps around the country and everything that that means. In a couple of weeks, I'm going off to Wall's End, which is near Newcastle in the North East England Division. And I'm really looking forward to see what church and the Salvation Army looks like in these days when COVID has happened and we're now coming out of it and exploring to see what happens next. But I just wanted to say thank you to you for being part of my life for these last 2 years, for looking after my mum and dad for me, and for your prayers in particular. Commissioning is coming up. Please be praying for me. Watch it on the live stream if you can. But really, just thank you.
This time tomorrow, this time tomorrow, where will you be, who will you see? I don't know, this time tomorrow.
Yeah! Good morning, everybody. It's another This Time Tomorrow. I hope you've had a nice week and you've been looking forward to this all week, I'm sure. We've got a very, very special guest this morning, which is your friend of mine, Jenny Fox. How you doing, Jenny?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, yeah.
So I'll cut straight to it. You know, what does your day-to-day look like at the moment? What have you been up to?
Lots of contacting people by text or phone. Yesterday we were sorting out a few CDs for people and working out how to make sure that everybody is looked after, really, and chatting with Julia and Mark. Quite a lot, that kind of thing. Lots of FaceTime stuff with the children, grandchildren, so that's all good.
Excellent. Mixing business and a bit of pleasure there. Sounds.
Why not? Yeah.
That sounds nice. So first real main question is, you know, how long have you been coming to this church?
Right. In January 1979, when I arrived as a newly qualified teacher and started teaching at Upminster Infant School. And I came to Romford Salvation Army at the same time. And so only 41 years, not long at all.
Excellent. Okay, wow, that's a fair bit of time. So how long have you been a Christian, would you say? How long have you had faith?
As a child, I obviously grew up with a Christian family, an extended family, but as a child of about seven, I made my first nervous commitment to Jesus. I just knew that I wanted Jesus to be my friend and my saviour. I'd been taught that in Sunday school, and that's what I wanted for my life then, which was great. During the years, there are obviously lots of ups and downs as people grow up, but really I think the time when my faith really grew was when I moved away from home, had to stand on my own two feet, went away to teach training college for 3 years, and I had to make lots of decisions of my own. So this really strengthened my commitment because it could have gone either way. I had to decide, you know, who was I going to be when I got to college? Was I going to be a Christian? Was I going to be somebody who associated with the Christians or with other people? Did I go to church? Should I go to the Salvation Army? You know, all of those kind of questions were whizzing around my mind. But my faith really upheld me then. And I had some fantastic friends, both at college and at the Salvation Army in Bedford. Who I'm still friends with now because that was such an important part of my life. And those people, you know, really were really very influential in my life. And I think becoming a Christian wasn't a definite date or a time. It's been a growing thing all the way through my life. You know, every so often I have to go back to God and, you know, say, I'm really sorry, I've messed it up again. Let's start again. And you know, that relationship builds and builds and builds throughout my life, I think.
Yeah. I mean, so the next question is, how does your faith affect your day-to-day life? And obviously you've been teaching for a while and life is a little bit different now, but how does your faith affect, you know, affect that day-to-day?
My faith has really come into its own again in a different way, in that I really feel that God is supporting me in what I'm doing at the moment. During this time, because Dennis and I are together more, which is quite nice for lots of things, but you know, we haven't been together for hours and hours on end like this. But it's meant that actually we've had time to specifically pray together every morning without fail and really commit that day to God. And just looking at a day at a time, has been really important for us. And, you know, over the years, I don't think I would have got through unless I'd had my faith. You know, things that happen to everybody, but, you know, the things that happen personally, I don't know how many people manage without their faith. We often sing My Lighthouse, don't we? And we sing it with gusto and enthusiasm, and that's right. It's absolutely right. But, you know, the other day I just sat and looked at the words and just read them over and over again and read them slowly and quietly to myself. And they're just fantastic words. And I'll just read them now. It says, in my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning, I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. And that's what I take into each day, that as I commit each day to God, that he will lead me through and my faith will uphold and do what God wants me to do for that day.
Yeah, incredible. Thank you for sharing that. So finally, what can we be praying for you, you know, at this time, maybe in the next couple of weeks? Or
for us, yeah. I think really continued strength to do what I'm doing, and for the right words and to say to people. Sometimes it's hard to know just what people need at a given moment. So for that prompting from God to know that I'm saying the right thing. And then really, as we're looking forward, although, you know, we're just stuck in a bit of a bubble at the moment, but, you know, there are already thoughts about where will our church be in the next few months and further on, and just praying that my part in that will be relevant, and that we as a church will be relevant to our congregation and to our community, and, you know, whatever God wants for me in that I will know, I will understand what he wants for me.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, no, we'll do that, and we'll pray in a second. And obviously, you, along with others in the leadership team, and Mark and Julia, are working so hard at the moment. And so, I know I speak for everybody. You know, however many hundreds of people will watch this. When we just want to say thank you for everything you're doing, and you and Dennis particularly, and just for the way that you are and the way you're supporting and upholding everyone else in prayer. So, let's do that for you just now, and. Just to close this time together.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, I just want to bring Jenny to you now, for everything that she is to our church, and everything that she does for the people of our church, Lord. I just want to say thank you for her in that way just now. And Lord, I just ask that you'll fill Jenny with your strength and your peace and your love and your Holy Spirit just now in the day-to-day life that she leads in those challenges, those tasks, as it were, that she's doing at the moment, and which is different from her usual day to day. And so, Lord, as we look forward as well to what's to come, we ask that that you'll go before us, and that you'll be planning ahead. You already know what's in store, but just to give Jenny peace in that context, Lord, and help her to seek you in that, but also just make your plan clear and reassure her and give your strength towards that, that she'll be a relevant and focal part in what's to come. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Last week, I introduced the GiveTea app as a new way of giving to the core. It's a simple, anonymous, cashless action. Just download the app, give your details once, and then give whenever you want to. Or you can still give by the Just Giving page. Cartridge envelope giving is still best done by standing order or cheque, and also paying for the papers, as GiveTea is anonymous. This week, we're having a virtual collection time, during which the band are going to play the tune Cardiff, with which we associate the words, "My chains fell off," just like happened to Peter. Every year, the officers of our division meet for a few days in a hotel or a conference centre for what used to be called a retreat, but is now called an officers' gathering or something. Over the years, some have been really good and others have been, well, shall we say, they don't float my boat. Well, the confession's not that. The confession is that most years there's a room set aside for praying in. It's usually beautifully set up with various stations involving candles, sand and boiled sweets. My confession is, I usually don't go to the prayer room. It's not that I don't pray or that I don't appreciate the effort that has gone into the artwork and the installation, but there's just something that doesn't work for me. I don't know how you feel about prayer meetings. I don't know what picture the term conjures up in your head. Long periods of silence, a few venerable saints often speaking to God at great length. Well, our story this morning features a prayer meeting. The church was earnestly praying for Peter. What do you imagine this prayer meeting was like? The meeting was in the house of Mary, John Mark's mother. John Mark, who would soon be sailing off with Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey into the unknown, possibly a dangerous journey. As a mother, Mary would be worried for her son. She's also hosting the prayer meeting with her servant girl, Rhoda. It was at night. After all, Peter was asleep in the prison, possibly facing death the next morning. They were praying for Peter. Do you think they'd met earlier to pray for James as well? James, the brother of John, a pillar of the early church. James, one of the sons of thunder, one of the inner three disciples who had accompanied Jesus over the 3 years of his ministry, one of those who Jesus took into his confidence and who witnessed the transfiguration and Gethsemane. James was now dead, murdered by Herod Agrippa. Did the death of James increase the fervency of their prayers, or did they now feel like giving up? After all, they had prayed for James and he was now gone. Luke records that the church was praying earnestly. He uses the same word with which he describes Jesus praying in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Earnestly, with sincerity and intensity, with passion, strength and seriousness. During this intense, sincere, passionate prayer meeting, there comes a knock at the door. Not wishing to be disturbed, they send Rhoda, the servant girl, to see who it is knocking at this time of night. Rhoda recognised Peter's voice and was so overjoyed she ran back to tell the prayer group without letting Peter in. Imagine Peter standing out in the street, having just escaped from prison, looking left and right, wondering what was happening. Rhoda interrupts the earnest prayers. "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. "Dear God, please help our brother Peter, locked in chains, facing death." "He's not locked in chains. He's at the door." An angel can get Peter out of chains, past 16 guards, through an iron gate. But he's left him now, and the church doors are locked, and the church is busy praying for Peter, who is outside and can't get in. Eventually, Peter is allowed in, and presumably the prayer meeting ends with a word of thanks to God. Is that what they were expecting in this prayer meeting? That God would actually hear them and answer them? It's an interesting picture of the church, a challenge for us today. The church is inside praying for Peter, who is outside. Now that's okay. They could hardly be where Peter was, locked up. And we can't always be where people are, locked up in addiction, debt, or other problems. But when we pray, are we on the lookout for answered prayer? There's a story told of a church praying for rain during a long drought and the pastor castigating the congregation for coming to the prayer meeting without umbrellas. Why wasn't Rhoda set at the door looking out for Peter's escape? But we know from experience that our prayers do not always bring about the things we are praying for. For a moment, let's just remember Jesus praying in Gethsemane. He prayed earnestly, "Father, if you will, take this cup away from me." But then the clincher, the hard line, "But not my will, but yours." This perhaps is the crux of the matter. Our prayers need to be earnest and passionate and strong and intense, but they need to be through the lens of "Thy will be done." We pray not so much that God would give us the desires of our hearts, but that the desires of our hearts would be in line with God's will. That doesn't stop us praying honestly. "God, we're scared. Peter's locked up. James is dead. Help us." The Psalms and the rest of the Bible are full of honest pleadings with God. As we emerge from this lockdown time into the new future, the new possibilities, perhaps we need to refocus our prayer meetings. Refocus them on seeking God's will and seeking to align ourselves with God's plan. To listen and in earnestness, passion and strength, bow before him and trust him. In the words of Chris Machen's song, "There are moments in our journey following the Lord where God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move he makes. When the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to him. There are days when clouds surround us and the rain begins to fall. The cold and lonely winds won't cease to blow, and there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe God does not know. When the storms arise, don't forget, we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee. Trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee. Lift your eyes towards heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of his plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. We're going to listen as the band plays that tune through to us. And as we listen, let's make it our prayer that we will put our trust and our faith in God. That when we don't understand the purpose of his plan, that in his presence, in the prayer meeting, in all earnestness and passion and sincerity, we will indeed bow the knee before God. Let's listen as the band plays.
chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him." Heavenly Father, as a church, help us to be earnest in prayer for those who belong to our fellowship and for those outside our fellowship, for those we love and for those we find difficult to love, for the leaders of our town, our nation and our world, those we agree with and those we don't. Help us to be expectant in our prayers and to not be surprised when you answer. Amen.